Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Welcome to our study of great chapters in the Scripture. As we think about chapters that stand out, texts of the Scripture that have great meaning for people of God, we must understand that one of the most important is found in Hebrews chapter 2, and it emphasizes the great salvation. Have you ever stopped and thought about how wonderful it is to be a child of God? What a blessing and privilege it is to be a Christian. That is only made possible because of the great salvation that we have. And we must never, ever take advantage of that great salvation. The Hebrews writer begins in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 by saying, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." When we think about the message of the great salvation, the Hebrews writer emphasizes you must never take advantage of this great salvation. How shall we escape, he says, if we neglect it? What do you mean, how shall we escape? Well, he emphasizes in verse 1 and 2, we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things spoken, lest we drift away. If we're not careful, don't pay attention to, and don't live our lives carefully, we can drift away from God. You see, the Bible teaches us to draw near to God. Hebrews 10, verse 24. To become more like Jesus Christ. To have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5. But if we constantly take salvation for granted, if we think that Christianity, if we begin to think that Christianity is not a privilege, we begin to drift further and further away from God until we no longer have that closeness, that relationship, that close relationship that God wants us to have. And then he emphasizes a little further in verse 2 that if that word, that Old Testament word spoken through angels, if it proves steadfast and every transgression and disobedience under it received a just reward, how are we going to escape today? What's the writer trying to emphasize? If under the old law, which the old law was just simply a tutor to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. It was never intended to last forever. It was a temporary law until the new covenant came, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. If that law, if it proved true and steadfast, and every sin under it received a just reward, and it was only preparatory, how are we going to escape if we neglect the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. This is the fullness of God's revelation. This Christianity is everything that God has been working for. And if we take advantage of that, the rhetorical question is simple. We cannot escape if we neglect that great salvation. Now, we can know it's great for three reasons. Number one, the Lord Himself came and spoke this word to us. I know this is God's great salvation because the Word, Jesus Christ, came in human form and delivered this message to us. I know it's the great salvation because it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. The apostles, the disciples, men and women in the first century who heard Him also confirmed this message. But then there's a third reason you can know this is for sure the great salvation. The miracles and signs which God bore witness with prove this is the great salvation. Jesus spoke it. Men and women in the first century declare it. And the miracles confirm. This is it. This is God's fullness of the scheme of redemption brought down to mankind. And so we must not escape that great salvation. In fact, in this salvation, it's Jesus that we look to, not Moses. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says, "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." What is it that we're looking at? Who are we looking to? We're not looking to Abraham. We're not looking to Isaac. We're not looking to Moses or to David. We see Jesus, Love the words of John 12 and verse 21. They came and they said to the crowd or to the disciples, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." How today we need to look to the right person and in the right place. John 1:17 says, "The law came through Moses, but grace and truth are found in Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. John 14 and verse 6. And so we've got to look to the right person. We've got to desire to see Jesus. And we've got to look to the right place. We need to understand that the old law has been nailed to the cross. Ephesians 2 verses 14 and 15 and Colossians 2 verse 14 clearly teach that when Jesus died on the cross, the enmity, the law of commandments was nailed to the cross. The ordinances was done away with. The Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews 8 verse 12, in that He says a new covenant. Listen, He's made the first obsolete. That which is becoming obsolete and growing old, He said, is ready to vanish away. By the writing of the time of Hebrews, it was already vanishing away. It was ready to do that, ready to depart. And so, if I'm going to take advantage of this salvation, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we can look to Jesus because He truly is the captain, the trailblazer of our salvation. Listen to the words of Hebrews 2 and verse 10. The Bible says of Christ, "For it was fitting for Him, for who are all things, and by who are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Well, what's the idea of the captain, the trailblazer? He's the one who goes ahead, who clears the path, who leads the way. Jesus is the captain of our salvation because He made salvation possible. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, "God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. He committed no guile, nor was sin found in His mouth." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. And so as Savior, as Captain, He has shown us the way. And the good news is, if we will follow the Savior, we can be sure that we'll make it to heaven. In Revelation chapter 14, there is a grand scene of the redeemed of all ages. And they're standing with the redeemed, and the question is asked, who are these? These are they who follow the Lamb wheresoever He went. We're to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And friend, I can promise you, walking in the footsteps of Jesus leads to heaven itself. He was made perfect by His suffering, and because of that, He has made the perfect way to heaven itself. Think about what Jesus faced. He had nothing really to call His own. He went about preaching the gospel and doing good. People laughed at Him, mocked Him. They said He had a demon. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus still went to Golgotha on Calvary and died for each and every one of us. Truly, we need to be thankful for the great salvation that Jesus Christ has made for each and every one of us. And because of that, verse 11 says, He's not ashamed to call those who follow Him brethren. What a wonderful privilege it is that I can be a follower of Christ, that I can be a son or a daughter of God. God's own Son came to this earth and willingly gave Himself so that I can be a son or a daughter of God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I can truly say, as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9, "Our Father, who art in heaven," because of the great salvation, I am now a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a child of God. And this salvation, this family relationship, the salvation we have with God is made so much deeper when I realize that Jesus has defeated our greatest enemy. What makes salvation great? Listen to the words of Hebrews 2 and verse 14. The Bible says of Christ, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Listen to what Jesus did. He, through his death, overcame him who had the power of death. Jesus loosed the bonds of death and loosed the hold that Satan had on mankind when he died as a perfect sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "When this corruptible has put on incorruption, when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Truly, Jesus defeated the greatest enemy, the devil himself. Because Jesus made a perfect offering of his life to the Father, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You see, the devil is roaming about seeking those whom he may devour, and he wants people to be lost, but Jesus made it possible by his sacrifice for men and women to get to heaven. I don't have to fear the devil if I remain true to God and if I follow his will. I'm not talking about we don't need to be on guard. We do. But I don't have to fear him in the sense that there's no hope, and I don't have to fear death. Death for the child of God. Did you know this? Death for the child of God is not a bad thing. Here's how the Scripture views it. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." It is a blessing. Listen to Psalm 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." How does God feel? He feels that it's precious when one of his own comes home. And in the midst of fighting this battle, in the midst of trying to stay faithful to God, the good news about this great salvation is we're not in it alone. We have help along the journey. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says of Christ, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted." Jesus is able to help us as we face the trials and the struggles and the difficulties of this life. How does he help us? By his word. We're to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. By his example, Paul said, "Imitate me, as I also imitate Christ." We receive help through the power of prayer when we pray to God today. We must come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Oh, how we need to be thankful today that God has made this great salvation available to each one of us. Friend, are you taking advantage of the great salvation? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? You might ask, what must I do to become a Christian? The Scriptures make it very simple. One must first hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You must believe Jesus is God's Son. John chapter 8 and verse 24. You must repent, change your way and change your will, and stop doing things that are wrong. Acts 3 verse 19. You must make the good confession. Romans 10 verse 10. And the Scriptures make it abundantly clear. To be saved, you must be immersed in water. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And so if you're not a child of God, if you've not taken advantage of this great salvation, we beg you, we plead with you today, before it's everlastingly too late, receive that great salvation by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ.